And we are live, and it is Monday afternoon here, 3 o'clock in Cleburg, 9 a.m. in Campo Grande, our weekly Atlantic corridor. And in the session before we came on air, Isma depressed me completely because it is not spring where you are anymore. It's gone straight from winter to summer.
Yes, I feel here like summer because today we are supposed to have 39 degrees Celsius.
It is the 15th of September. Okay.
When you drink your hot tea here, I think it's advisable to have it an iced tea.
Nice and well, it's. Yeah, it is. I'm actually, well, I usually have a pot of tea in the winter months. I have a pot of tea, but the thing is, it's not actually cold. Well, for our standards, you know, it's 20 degrees, which is
20 is nice.
It's nice, but it's just windy and gray and wet here. Yeah, but there you go. Anyway, so we're talking about mistakes that mattered today. So a mistake that people have made, but it turned out to be, as you would say, a blessing in disguise. And so that's what I want to explore with you today, Isma. Going back 60 odd years back into one's life. But let's sort of paint the big picture first. Can you think of the one mistake that you made that felt heavy or serious when at the time when you made it? But in hindsight, that mistake gave you something you didn't know you needed.
Firstly, I would like to present an introduction. Once I said to a co-worker that it would be nice if we spoke only one language all around the world. And my coworker said that it wasn't, because for him it was amazing to have many languages to learn and to communicate with different worlds according to their culture. And I take this to the area of make or not making mistakes are so many. I would prefer that I haven't made any mistake in life, and I had been born prepared and not make any mistakes. I think my life would be much better and easier.
Well, I mean, this is the interesting question. Is a mistake actually a mistake?
If something happened as we didn't want or preview, the result, our action is the opposite. We consider it's a mistake. Then we regret, we become sad. That's what we consider a mistake. Or, for example, if you, when you're driving, you don't pay much attention to traffic and you bump your car in another one, is a mistake. What's the advantage of that? Of course, always when you're driving, you have to pay attention on your car and every other car around you. But you know that. But sometimes you you missed your attention, for there is something more important or interesting to think about than driving your car.
So let's look at that. So you drive your car and you are involved in an accident. And let us say that you were the cause of this accident because you did something that broke the traffic rules, or somebody had to react in a different way to what was expected. And whatever happened, your car is damaged, the other person's car is damaged. And just for the sake of humanity, let's say that nobody was injured in this accident. Let's just keep it simple. So you created damage. You will inconvenience yourself and somebody else because you both maybe not be able to drive your cars, or you were delayed, or something. And you create work for the insurance companies to process the accident. You create work for the garages to repair the cars. But I question whether that was a mistake.
Probably you and another driver got angry, or maybe you got late on your appointment and another person as well. You have to spend money with cars fixing, and you should spend a certain amount of money traveling to the beach. What's the advantage of that? And you knew that you have to pay attention and follow the traffic rules before that. What's that? And you made a mistake. What's the advantage? What did you gain with that? Nothing. You only lose
But I didn't do it
things.
on purpose. It was an accident.
Sorry?
I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't purposely create the accident because, by the very nature of the word, it was an accident and it could happen to anybody.
But mistakes didn't happen only purposely, because if you did something on your purpose, it's not a mistake, it was your intention, then you hit your objective.
Yeah,
I think there is no advantage for mistakes. For
okay, well, I'm not going
life will be more.
I'm going to let one that one rest at the back of my head because I'm not quite I suppose that you can have degrees of mistakes. Can you have a serious mistake? You can have a simple mistake. You can have a whole range of different mistakes. And I suppose if you categorize them, then it might mitigate this. But I mean, I don't habitually go around driving in wherever I'm driving and purposely create accidents. I mean, I don't have the time, the money, or the nerves for that sort of thing. It just happens. You know,
But I would like to give you, okay.
it's life.
But I would like to give you an example of a mistake that can teach you something.
Okay, so we're going back to
When
the
I.
question. We're going back to the first question, yeah?
No,
A mistake.
no, no. You can continue with the first one. No
No, no,
problem.
no, no, no. Give me the mistake that happened that will from which I can learn.
When I was around 30, I had a girlfriend who was 8 years, 9 years younger than mine, and she was completely different from me. And my mom said, "This girl is not something that is good for you." But I liked her, and we had a relationship for maybe 2 years, 3 years. I broke with her, and I moved to São Paulo state, and he got depressive. And she had to go to a therapist. Then I felt very sorrow about her, and she insisted on to restarted the relationship. And I agreed, and everything that happened after was bad. Then I think this mistake taught me something. We have to try, at least to try, to choose someone to live together that it's similar to you. If not, you have many problems.
Okay, well,
Because we were completely different.
that opens a whole different can of worms. Well, hindsight is a wonderful thing, and without wanting to be too personal or cur or nosy, but what was the attraction? What was the initial attraction to this person, to this girl?
We had a joyful conversation, and we hang around a lot together. In that time, I had a motorcycle, and she wasn't an ugly girl, but she wasn't very beautiful. She was a common person. She wasn't a relationship based on her beauty. When we like someone, I think there is no justification for that. It just happened.
Well, this
I
is
liked
it.
it. I liked her.
This is it. You met her, you were attracted to her, you developed the relationship with her, you fell in love with her, she fell in love with you, and then at some point, you realize that she was not the right person for you in the long term. And you separated, and then she got depressed, and then you felt sorry. And in the therapy, she reached out. And you started again a second time round. Why did you see this as a mistake?
Firstly, because we were very different on our perspective of life, our values in life. That's why I think it was a mistake to have this relationship.
Maybe I'm going to provoke you here. Maybe the mistake wasn't the values. Maybe the mistake was that one of you two didn't try hard enough to adapt to the different character, personality, to adapt to the relationship. Where were the boundaries here?
I think a little different. No one needs to adapt to other. If you adapt to other, you are changing yourself. You're not yourself anymore. And if the other does it, she becomes another person. I don't know if it's possible to change. I think I am the same adolescent I was.
So how about the word compromise in a relationship? You have to meet in the middle somewhere.
But I think that we should have a compromise with someone that is positive for your life and not someone that's negative. And yeah, when someone is negative for you, you have to stay far from her. And I think it can be used for another kind of relationship, social relationship as well. I think it's not productive to live socially with someone that's not positive for you.
So I'm going to go in two different directions here. So the first direction is that your mother instinctively knew that this relationship with this girl was doomed to failure. And at the end of the day, she was proven right. So now I know that in our Western culture, arranged marriages are frowned upon. But maybe had your mother been a matchmaker and found a suitable partner for you, because she knows you better than you know yourself at that age, and parents generally know their children better. Do you think you would have had a different life had your mother slash your parents, or your father died at an early age, but had your mother actually selected a bride for you? Do you think that would have been the better option?
No, my mother didn't select it or didn't select her for me. And to make the case, not to make, to just to inform another detail, a friend said the same, that she wouldn't be good for me.
So the
Two
mistake,
people said that.
okay, so the mistake wasn't the girl, the mistake was the fact that you didn't listen to your mother and to your friend.
Not exactly did that. I didn't listen to my mom and my friend, but my mistake was to not be able to realize it for myself. Maybe if I were a wiser guy, I could have seen it.
So you went into this whole thing emotionally and not rationally,
Yes.
which at the age of 30 or younger, is not easy, because emotions, especially in that field, are stronger than the being rational. And can you really, would it not be a mistake to approach a potential future relationship solely on the grounds of rational thought? Would that not
And
be a
I think
mistake?
this mistake taught me something.
Which is?
Yeah. That girl was very dependent, financially from her parents and after that from me. And he was authoritarian. And many years after, I got another person. She was completely different. And she told me that the man in a relationship should be 100% provider of the family. The another girl thought the same as the first one. And I could see that I have some similarity between both relationships.
Okay, but how can it be a mistake if you at age 30, at the age of 30, enter a serious long-term relationship when in actual fact the people actually change over time. You at the age of 30 is would be different at the age of 40, at the age of 50, at the age of 60 plus, because you have walked through life with a whole bunch of experiences which have shaped you. So there are two things which you can deduce from this. One, never enter a long-term relationship because you will change as experiences gather. And two, it proves that it wasn't a mistake because you are an unfinished product. And the partner is also an unfinished product because that partner will also evolve and go through life changing because experience just adds on to it. So basically, you have two unfinished products which cannot work. Yet
I can see
my parents were married for 60 years and they were very happily married.
I consider it as a mistake because the result wasn't good, but it was a positive mistake because I should learn from it.
So you entered the relationship more with a short-term mindset. You know, it'll be as good as it lasts. Yeah, and if it doesn't last, well, that's life.
I didn't get what you said.
We're getting really complicated here. Let's go back three steps. You and I, you basically agree that each person, as they live through their life, they continuously change and adapt. They will have certain core values, but they change and adapt as they gain experience, maturity, and wisdom, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So that you agree with that, or do you disagree with that?
That you change according you live more and more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
And
so.
if I didn't have made that mistake, probably I would make something similar in the future. Then it was positive.
Well, it was positive. So basically what you are then saying is that you will never or a person with that mindset will never enter a long-term relationship because rationally they say, well, I am the way I am today, but in 5 years I will be different. So if the relationship lasts 5 years, then okay. And if it doesn't, well, okay as well.
But let me affirm my statement that a mistake in general is aren't necessary. If I had been born prepared, I didn't have made that mistake. I have had eliminate that person from my life.
Well, there is, funny that you should say that, but there is actually a school of thought, and I don't actually know if it's to be taken seriously or not, but there is a school of thought where parents, sorry, children can sue their parents for putting them in this world unprepared. But you cannot come into this unprepared. So, and how do you prepare for love? How do you prepare for a relationship? How do you prepare for the whole messy emotional side that is relationships?
If you take a puppy and throw it on the lake, it just started swimming.
Yes, because
And if you do it with a baby, probably
no,
he'll die.
the baby will drown and not survive the experience. Yes.
Yeah. Then the puppy had been born prepared to swim.
Is that a mistake on the side of the human?
No, I think it's a nature mistake.
I know where you are coming from because I see it with the cats that we have. The cats instinctively know how to do certain things and they observe maybe to a certain degree what their parents do or what other cats do in their in but cats have a natural survival instinct, whereas we and they don't go to school, yeah. Whereas we need formal education in order to learn how to do things and how to survive. But that is not a mistake, that is nature.
That's a nature mistake.
It's a natural mistake.
Yeah.
But you can't,
Well,
what are you going to do about it? You can't change that.
no, he can't. And
So.
some people say that nature is perfect. There isn't.
Well, what is, well, maybe that's an interpretation, whatever perfect is. But the question is, if it is imperfect, so if you are born into this world in an imperfect state and you have to learn, then it's not a natural mistake because that is what nature is. The mistake, if you want to classify it as, is one where you are not prepared to learn and where other people are not prepared to teach. So people have to accept the responsibility for learning and for teaching each other. And now this is done in a certain framework. We have formal education. We have parental education. And then we have the informal side, which is sort of the friends, the people that we interact with. And
Let's.
therein lies, of course, a whole set of risks because you may be taught wrongly, or you may meet the wrong people, or you may have parents who do not, accept the responsibility of their offspring. And that could be a mistake. But if you do not know any better, can you be excused for making this mistake?
You said that maybe family doesn't know how to teach. Let's see the following scenario. You have a 40 student class, and the teacher show some subjects, and 2 weeks later, she will give a test for the students. Some will take 10, another 9, and probably some below 5, and even someone can take 0. We can say that the teacher didn't know how to teach, or the students didn't know how to learn. And I think it's happening every day in our life. Family isn't prepared to teach their children, and children aren't prepared, or they don't know how to learn. And how many times you have to hear something and you continue doing the same mistake?
Excellent point. There is no right or no wrong. Because we are all different and we have certain skills, capabilities, characteristics, qualities. So let me give you an example out of my own life. I love mathematics, but I do not understand it. I never have. I was very bad at mathematics. But and I had lots of math teachers. I also had a father who tried to explain certain things, mathematical things to me. And I didn't understand it. Now, everybody tried. I tried. All the teachers tried. But it just turns out that I am not wired in my brain, for want of a better expression, to understand mathematics. However, I know the importance of mathematics. I respect, and that's the key word in it, I respect the importance of mathematics. I also respect the people who tried to teach me mathematics. And out of this, I see the beauty of mathematics because if you take something and let a whole range of numbers and symbols work their logical way to a specific result, I personally find that incredibly beautiful. I don't understand it, but I find it beautiful. And I'm not going to try and understand it because I know I can't, but I will respect it. And I will always, there's a person on YouTube, a German person. She explains mathematical problems and mathematical equations and whatever it is they do. And I sometimes watch this because I just find it fascinating. So now, is it a mistake that I don't understand mathematics? It is. Why is it a mistake that I don't understand? Why do you nod your head?
Why didn't you born with all this mathematical knowledge?
Because
Why
that.
did you have to surf trying to learn it?
Whoa.
It's a nature mistake.
Well, I didn't ask to be born. I had no choice in the matter. So if I have no choice in the matter, how can it be a mistake?
And for sure, mathematics didn't ask it to be created.
No, it didn't. It couldn't. But it was humans who understood maths and who had the intelligence. But then the humans weren't asked to be born either, but they did it anyway. They were fascinated by the subject. They studied it. They developed it. The question is the mathematics we learn today the correct mathematics, or is it all a mistake? At the moment, so far, so good. But it could be that in 10 years' time, with the rise of artificial intelligence, we may find a gap in the system, which will bring the whole system down because all of a sudden we have to see something which we didn't know before. Is it a mistake not knowing anything? No, it's not a mistake. It's a mistake not trying your best to learn it. And if you don't succeed in learning it, it's not a mistake either. It's just that you are not built for this sort of thing, but you may have other qualities in your life which are good, positive, which you can contribute. So the question is, does a mistake really exist at the end of the day? Because you can't help doing anything for or against it.
Then you think that mistake doesn't exist.
Question the existence of mistakes, yes.
It doesn't exist maybe in a material form, but in a virtual state, it exists. For example, if we had just one language in the world, we aren't here from my part trying to learn in. If I had been born knowing all language that exists in the planet, I wasn't here. Then, how many mistakes, how many sentences I pronounced in a wrong way, and with different meanings that I wanted people understand me in a different way that I wanted to express, they were mistakes from my part.
But you're not
Even even
responsible. You're not responsible for this deficit.
who is it? No one.
Nobody, no.
You mentioned animals, specifically cats, and
Well, because I have
sometimes.
four of them. Yeah, the cats are sort of I observed cats for the last 14, 15 years, and I had cats when I was a kid. So I sort of single out cats, but you could apply it to dogs or monkeys or anybody or any other animal, I should think.
Sometimes I observe some animals and I ask myself, why do they always know how to act something and you don't know? And we consider ourselves rational, more intelligent than them. How can they do that?
Well, that indeed is this is a question I have been asking myself for many, many years. And I honestly do not have an answer to that question, but I do find it fascinating. Yeah. So I saw before we met today, I saw one of our four cats walk across the courtyard and it had a mouse in its mouth. Now, I did not teach that cat how to catch a mouse. And because it is the youngest cat, it's only been here for 2 years. None of the other three cats taught this cat how to teach a mouse. So this cat, Uno, he's called Uno, he's a black cat, he's called Uno. Uno somehow, by trial and error, learned how to catch a mouse. So, first of all, to identify a mouse, how to catch it, how to kill it, and how to eat it, because cats don't eat all parts of a mouse. They live the liver or some part of the body, the innards. They do not eat them for some reason. So instinctively, the cat knows that this part of the mouse is not edible. So, and I do not know how they do it and how they learn that. Now, the question is this a mistake? Or, since I have this question, would it be a mistake for me not to research this? Maybe somebody somewhere has written a text, a document, a book, made a film, created something that will explain how animals act on instinct. So you can't blame nature and the animal for learning it, but you could blame me for not taking the time to find out why animals can survive much better than humans without any formal education.
Of course, animals make mistakes as well. But I think they make less mistakes than us humans. And I think in our instinct, we kill something. We kill not animals with our hands, but we can kill some other human being with our hands in our instinct.
Again, I would say I don't know, but animals will only kill, as far as I understand it, animals will only kill other animals if they are attacked or if they are hungry. I would say
For
those are the only t the only
territory domain or
well
the
whether an animal well, yeah. If it perceives a risk to its life, now whatever that risk is seen, is, I don't know. It could be territorial, it could be an outright attack, I don't know. But is it really a mistake still if it is doing what it does naturally?
But human beings kill
Human
for
beings.
pleasure.
Human beings kill for a multitude of reasons, yes. Yeah. And I think we can extend this now to a different level. Animals do not, un I think I would be safe in saying, animals do not understand the concept of power. Whereas human beings and powerful human beings, politicians and rich people, of course, understand the concept of power and how to use power and how to abuse power. And of course, you could say that powerful politicians are abusing their power and are making the mistake of abusing their power and inflicting hardship and suffering on fellow humans in order to satisfy their own ego or power instinct. So we now come to ego and power, something which animals do not understand. They get up, they do whatever they do, they eat, they sleep, they defend their territories, but basically they're peaceful. Humans have the concept of power, the concept of egotism, and maybe therein lies a mistake.
But don't you agree that if you were in a different situation, if you were born knowing everything we need to be prepared for our situation, the life would be better?
No.
No? Okay.
If I were born in a perfect state of being, if I knew everything, if I could do everything, then what would be the value of my life? What would I actually do with my life?
Oh, you would be in constant pleasure and joyness. Where else would you want to?
Would I not be bored out of my brain because I have nothing to learn, I have nothing to strive for, nothing to achieve? Would I just would I just
You
would
would
I
have
just
your option power, yeah, your decision power, yeah.
Would I?
You wouldn't be like a robot.
But I'm not, but
You
then I
have
would,
to use
but then I
your
wouldn't be human with all the mistakes that come with it. Assuming they are mistakes.
No, you wouldn't be a human. You would be a perfect human.
So you're moving down the realm of science fiction, where I would not be created, for want of a better word, in a natural way, but I would be, my DNA would be manipulated before I'm even thought of. So my DNA would be manipulated so that I am born, or that I am created in a fashion where the outcome is guaranteed. So I know that, or somebody knows that the Frank that they created will be capable of doing this, capable of doing that, and capable of not doing other things. And if I am created in that way, because I do not know any different, and I am probably programmed in such a way to not want to know, then I will be prepared. And now we're looking at 1984 and Brave New World, yeah, George Orwell and Aldous Huxley, and probably a few other science fiction authors. Now, because I do not know any differently, I won't question this. And yes, I will go through a relatively happy life because I have nothing to compare it with. But as it stands, I was created and I turned out with the skill set that I was given, or that somehow was passed through my family's DNA. And so I am imperfect. I can make myself better. And if I'm happy with doing that, then that's okay. If not, well, that's my problem. So I am not a mistake, nor is the other person a mistake. one is manipulated and I am just a natural result of an accident. Yeah.
Maybe I couldn't explain my perspective of a new human being.
Okay, then enlighten me.
No one will manipulate your DNA. Everyone will know everything. Even when I faced something new, I would know how to handle with it. And not with a restricted ability. The human being, according to my perspective, will know to handle with all new situation.
So let me translate this
It's scientific fiction. Yes, it's just some
so let me translate this into something. So two people meet, they fall in love, they have children, and this child that is the offspring of this couple knows everything, can do everything. Is a fully productive member of the society from day one. Yeah. Is that the picture you're painting?
Oh, it's not necessary that anyone could do anyone. If not, it'd be a mess. Because they will know what will be their role. For example, if you are in an environment, suppose someone house, and you respect the other person, you know that you can't go to his bedroom. You can't go to his kitchen without being invited to go there. Yeah? But if anyone could do anything, no, I can go to someone's house and then I'd go to the bedroom, I go to the garage, I would go to the kitchen. No, it's not this way.
Okay, so to interrupt you, are you saying that the ideal person that you are trying to describe doesn't know everything, that there doesn't have all the knowledge in this world, but he knows how, or they know how to behave themselves. They know what is right and what is wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
They know that they have to drive with attention, as I know, but they wouldn't distract.
Okay, so it is understanding how to behave and how to do things in the correct manner, but not necessarily knowledge. Now, what I would like to know from you is how can you separate these two things? Because in order to understand how to do something, you have to know what it is that you have to do and what it is that you do not have to do. So how can you differentiate this? How can you know what's right and how can you know what's wrong?
When you know everything, you know how to do with everything you know. For example, if we respect each other, would be necessary to have a gunpower, a gun
To have force, yeah.
would be necessary. If everyone know how to behave, would be necessary to have a jail, lawyer? No. Worse. For example, if Russia respect Ukraine, we wouldn't have just war.
The logic of what you say is correct. But unfortunately,
No, it's not possible. Yes,
it's not
it's true.
possible. It's not possible because we are not constructed in this particular fashion. Yeah. But there is an escape clause that I can give you. But it'll take a long time to develop. And the question is, how are you going to do this? So, you could go down the road and create a set of values which every human being on this planet must learn. And these values are just, at least in our culture, these values are distilled down to the Ten Commandments. In the Bible, you have the Ten Commandments, and they form the bedrock of how to behave. Now, usually every person who is raised in a Christian upbringing will come across these Ten Commandments, and will probably undergo certain rituals to adhere to these Ten Commandments, but somewhere the chance of them breaking one of these, if not several of these commandments, is fair nigh on 100%. I don't think you can go through life adhering to these Ten Commandments. Now, other cultures may have something similar or something totally different. I don't know. So the only way that you could try and enforce a uniform behavioral pattern of good manners is that everybody adheres to the Ten Commandments. But we've been doing that for 2,000 years and it hasn't worked. So you can go down the scientific route, and maybe we will come across a way whereby people are injected with certain DNA in which these Ten Commandments are stored somehow. And as the generations progress, it gradually becomes embedded in everybody, and maybe in 1,000 years' time, everybody will then automatically adhere to the Ten Commandments because they have been programmed in such a way. But you and I are not going to witness this. So the question is, why bother? Yeah. That I think would be the only way to do this. But who says that the Ten Commandments are right?
In the real world, what I said is not possible. It's an imaginary world.
It's a utopian world, yeah.
Yeah,
And
because if we know everything that we need, the Ten Commandments would be necessary because everyone would know what was necessary. It was necessary to have the Ten Commandments.
it was necessary at the time to write the Ten Commandments, and we know from history what has happened. Yeah. So you can ask, why bother? Why not accept that human beings are not perfect?
And the Ten Commandments didn't avoid that human beings
No.
made all mistakes we have been making in
Yes.
all our history.
Yes. But I mean, there are cultures where they will not understand one or two of the commandments because in their culture it's not seen as a mistake. There are even in Christianity, there are the first thing that comes to mind is there are people who have several wives. Yet in the Ten Commandments, it's stipulated, stick with the person you have. Do not go and get involved with somebody else. But the Mormons, which are a sect within the Christian faith, they allow husbands to have several wives. And they don't see anything wrong. And if it's not seen as wrong, it's not a mistake. It's an interpretation. Now, you may think it's wrong. The other person will say, well, I'm sorry, but I don't think it is wrong. So the mistake would lie in not respecting and accepting a different opinion and agreeing to disagree. Therein lies the mistake. And then we come to tolerance. How tolerant are we? So the mistake is, are we tolerant or intolerant of each other? If we were more tolerant of each other, then a lot of these things wouldn't actually come up for discussion. So what do you teach? Mistakes or tolerance? And I think tolerance is the easier lesson to teach.
We are discussing in a different fields. You are pro mistakes and I'm against. And I just imagine a way that we didn't have mistake. And you consider, if I understood, and you consider that mistake is a good teacher and can make us better person
And
in
this is what,
this
yes,
real world.
but I mean, I have to defend the ethos of Breeder, because in Breeder, we don't encourage mistakes, but if you make a mistake in saying something wrong, it doesn't matter because you realize that you made a mistake and you learn from it. Now, if somebody came to us without needing any English training or any communication training, then I would be out of a job. I'd probably do something else, but I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now and what I've been doing for 30 years.
Let's abandon the imaginary world from me and go to the real world.
Thank you.
As I told you, a positive example from my life that could learn, could teach me something. I think we can learn with mistakes, but it's not every mistake that teaches us something, and is not everyone that is able to learn with their mistakes. For example, a criminal steal a house and go to the jail. After some amount of years, he'll be freed and he steals again. What did he learn with that? Nothing. Maybe that she or he is still be stealing. Because they don't want to work, and maybe they think that stealing is wrong, but they think that there is a stupid other person that work to buy things, to have money for them to steal other people. It's not always that the mistake teachers. And even me, I think that sometimes I made a mistake and I repeated many other times. Yeah, it's possible.
So on the surface of these things, again, On the surface, superficially seen, you're not wrong. But I would question that to a certain degree, that if a person, to use your example, if a person repeats the same mistake of stealing something, he steals something, he gets punished for it, he either pays a fine or he goes to prison. He comes out and he repeats the process. The question I have is, why is this person doing it? Is it the person, or is there something in that person's environment, and by extension in the bigger environment, that forces this person to repeat making the same mistake? And if that is the case, then this person is a victim of circumstances beyond their control. And what I criticize often is that in public life, people try and find solutions, but they don't actually go to the root cause of the problem. Because either it's too complex or too expensive or just not possible. But the question at the heart of this part of the discussion, and I already know your answer because we've discussed this before, are people born good people, or are people born bad people and they have to be raised to be good people? Now, I know that you would say that people are born bad. At least I think I remember you saying that. Whereas I say a person is born good because they just don't know any different, and they go through life and become good people or bad people. And the influences in their lives dictate how these people develop. Now, if these people are born in difficult circumstances, then it makes their life more difficult than somebody who's born in a privileged environment. And maybe the root cause has to be addressed there and not anywhere else. If people are born in abject poverty that they have to steal, then you can't blame the person. You blame the system or the environment in which that person has grown up in or lives. And you need to change the environment so that the person can thrive in a more positive environment, because the person, he just can't help themselves doing what they have to do. They want to survive somehow. It's the survival instinct.
What do you call a victim of circumstance?
When somebody is forced to do something, knowing that they do not want to do it, but they have no option. So I am hungry. I have no choice but to go and steal food. Because this.
I mention a concrete example from Brazil. Lula was poor. He stole a lot and became a rich man, and he's still stealing people. Is he a victim of the circumstance who is still stealing Brazilian people?
Well, there we enter the very messy realm of politics and interpretation and values. And coupled with that, it goes back to it goes back to the question of power. And I think it doesn't matter who the politician is, and it doesn't matter which political persuasion a politician is. I personally think that all politicians are seduced by power and motivated by power. And I don't think Lula is any different to Bolsonaro or any other politician that that exists anywhere on this planet. The only difference is how they go about it. Bolsonaro did it one way, and he has been convicted for 27 years in prison, so he will not be a free man for the rest of his life, foreseeably. Lula has gone about it slightly differently, and so far has got away with it. He may or may not get away with it in the future. Nobody knows. And he has the power to stop it if he can. So the question isn't whether they are good persons or bad persons, right people or wrong people. They have fallen into the power trap and have succumbed to it and managed it.
I don't say that people are born bad or good, but some part of us comes ready. I don't know how it happens, and probably no one knows. And sometimes we see two boys or two girls or a boy and a girl educated in the same family, and one is a correct person and another is a criminal. Why did it happen? Then it's not only the environment that influences people's behavior. There are something that I believe that is inside us. And maybe even the person can change it.
It's a question, I suppose, for psychologists, psychiatrists, human biologists. I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure there are studies that have been made about this kind of thing. But it's something that I couldn't answer at this stage. But when I look at kids, little children, I think they just want to be, we know kids are in their own little bubble, in their own little world, because they don't know any different. They're still learning.
Let me see if I understood something, because if I understood, I think in a different way. And when you said that all politicians are the same, what I don't agree, because if all the politicians are the same, they are corrupted, and all people that aren't politicians, they are honest, and it's what's not true, neither one, neither other.
Not quite. So, you have to ask yourself what motivates a person to become a politician. Is it the
The most
desire?
of them, I agree with you, it's because of power, the most of them.
But disguised as the desire to contribute to public life and to change something in public life.
Probably there are some people that think in this way.
And like all situations, you will have politicians at certain levels. You will have local politicians, you will have state politicians, you will have federal politicians, and then you will have the heads of state. And I still think that at any level. So 2 doors down from where I live, my neighbor, he is the assistant, he's the deputy mayor of this village, Kleeburg. Now, on the surface of it, he is a very kind man. He helped me enormously 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when my wife was in this horrible accident of hers. He helped me personally on the night of the accident. So he's a brilliant human being. But on the other hand, he is also a man of authority and power, and he can get things done in the village if he wants or doesn't want. And I was thinking about this the other day, while he helped my wife and me personally on the night of her accident, at the end of the day, nothing has changed in stopping the reason for, or some of the reasons for this accident. So you could say, did he not want
And
to change?
excuse me, and what would could be have done to avoid the other cases that is under his power?
So there is a lane. So we live on a country lane at the back where it is illegal for motorbike riders to go up and down this country lane.
Illegal
It's illegal.
commerce,
It's illegal for.
drugs.
No, it's illegal for a person other than agricultural vehicles to use this country lane. He lives on the same lane as we do. So the youths of today, they drive up and down this lane with their motorbikes. And
And
they
it's not
do,
allowed a motorbike there.
it's not allowed, no, but nothing has been done about it. The result is that my wife suffers a traumatic experience each time a motorbike drives past. There are young kids in our neighborhood. They play in the area. The accident could happen again. Yeah. The motorbike rider that caused the accident was on drugs. Yeah. He had smoked 2 joints. And the other problem, of course, is that the possession of marijuana 10 kilometers away in Germany is legal. In France, it is illegal. But any kid who's out to get drugs can hop across the border and find a way to obtain them legally. Yeah. But that's outside the assistant mayor or deputy mayor's jurisdiction. He can't control that. But he could control by imposing some sort of system which makes it impossible for motorbike riders to use this lane. The mayor, I have spoken with the mayor. He said he knows the problem. The mayor gave me his phone number. He said, next time you see somebody, take a picture and send it to me, and we'll pass it on to the police.
He transferred the problem for you. He transferred the solution of the problem for you.
Exactly. I have to provide the solution. Yeah. So, now you could equate that as disinterest, apathy, the impossibility of the situation. I'm allowed to vote. I'm not a French national, so I cannot vote for the French government in Paris, but I can vote for the local council here and where I live. Yeah. And these two people do not get my vote, even though one of them was very kind on the night of the accident. But they do not get my vote for the simple reason that they are not solving a problem. And maybe they don't want to, they don't care, or they cannot. Yeah. Or they're not trying hard enough. You can debate this until the cows come home. Yeah. And for that reason, you know, it's a political thing, it's a power thing. Maybe my argument doesn't weigh as much as the lobby of other people. I've only lived in this village for 15 years. Others were born here, they've lived here all their lives. Are they going to listen to a person who comes from outside and who hasn't been here, has only been here, only been here for 15 years? There are other interests at play, so you have to listen to who has the better arguments and not necessarily who is right or wrong. And so you can choose to put up with it or you can choose to leave. Yeah. That's the choice. At the moment, we're putting up with it. Now, you can multiply this model all the way up to the federal level, in your case, to Lula or Bolsonaro. Yeah. Who has the power?
I think politician, it's almost the same all around the world, and people as well. We can find good people and bad people all around the world.
Yes, but what makes them? They weren't born bad people. They became, if you want to say it this way, they became bad people. Yeah.
Have you observed the little kids, maybe 1, 2 years old, that they are very bad and they hit other boys and even adults? Have you observed that?
I haven't, not that I can remember, but the question is, are they doing it intentionally or do they not know any better? And they are learning. And the question is, if there is a parent nearby, does the parent intervene and tell the child that this is wrong? If the child gets away with it, then it does not see that it is wrong and it may develop into a serious problem later. But learning is about doing something and finding out if it was right or wrong. If it was wrong, it was a mistake. If it was right, it was not a mistake. But it could also be right and not be a mistake, or it could be wrong and a mistake, but not be a mistake because maybe somehow the circumstances have changed or the environment changes. So maybe mistakes don't exist after all.
Probably making many mistakes here, it's one of our great characteristics as human beings, or not?
Accomplishments, making mistake is an accomplishment. Definitely. Definitely.
I wouldn't say that accomplishment, but maybe one of our bad parts.
It's human nature. Was it a mistake talking about this subject?
Is to talk about this subject
Was it a mistake?
because there is no solution, but it's
Yes.
interesting to go deep with you.
Isma, this has been an incredibly swift 90 minutes. It's been very, very interesting.
But by the way, how is Mary?
Let me stop the
Is he
rec let let me
a little bit better?
let me stop the recording.